Wait, Sasha, you're on the list. Sasha, you're on the list.
Sasha.
Sasha, you're on the list. Then in the next, we have Aki, followed by Donald, followed by Sasha. Anybody else want to be on the list? Oh, you're not on the list? Did I misunderstand? Oh, you were gesturing, and I thought you were gesturing at me. Donald, followed by Sasha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is working.
Yes.
Barbara, thank you and Maria for your tenacious efforts to unravel the mysteries of finances between KPFA and Pacifica. I think everybody in this room, regardless of what their allegiance is to whatever fantasized ideology or belief system, owes you a great debt for making clear that we are doing our part here in the Bay Area. We are raising the money we need to keep the station going and then some. So my specific question is, how much money gets siphoned off, not to Pacifica KPFA, but how much money is being siphoned off to prop up, either directly or indirectly, other stations that continue to not be able to carry their load, meaning more specifically, they cannot raise the money they need to raise to stay on the air? Do we have those numbers?
Well, we gave a report last time that listed some of our special payments we've made, and I didn't bring it with me today, but we can, you know, make this at any time. Maria goes into the computer and adds up the list, and it's substantial.
Okay, substantial. Yet they want us to cut positions here at this station to subsidize everybody else's lack of fundraising capability in their listening area.
Well, I think, to be fair,
yes, please.
WBAI would say it's not only their they would not probably want to say that it's their lack of ability to raise the money, but it's that their expenses are extraordinarily high, extraordinarily higher than others. And somehow this situation has been tolerated and encouraged by people in charge. And I think that it's I'm just wondering when listeners on this coast are going to find out and react to the fact that we're being forced to support a big operation in New York that's
bankrupt.
Well, it could be said that, but it's not a good situation. It's very difficult to unravel.
Okay, so they're functionally bankrupt, and Pacifica owes us about $1 million that they've never paid us, which is a long-term debt, and they want to ding us as well, mm-hmm. Right? Just so I'm clear. Thank you.
Sasha.
So let me understand this. So KPFA paid over $1 million for Pacifica to move to the West Coast into a building owned by us for which they pay us no rent. WBAI entered into a 10-year lease, which I guess is about to expire in a few months. And for 6 years that I've been on the board, and it certainly didn't seem like the people who were discussing it when I was new to the board were discussing it for their first time, everybody has known, including BAI, and the talk was that they were going to find a cheaper place to rent to try to break their lease, actually, if they could, and move. And now we are at the end of a 10-year lease, and they want to stay another 4 years, as I understand it, in a facility that I think costs them, somewhere there are the figures, $750,000, something like that, for their rent and the cost of their transmitter. If I'm wrong about those figures slightly, you know, please correct me. And we can argue about the details. We're more or less, KPFA is more or less breaking even, let's put it in those terms, if we have a bit of a surplus or whatever, but we're not, you know, we're more or less breaking even. And so we're supposed to cut 5 staff people. This will, of course, affect our effectiveness as an organization, our programming, et cetera, which will cause a drop, no doubt, in revenue coming in, and I'm just not following this scenario, frankly. It just doesn't make sense to me. So,
well, I agree with you. It doesn't make sense because I don't think there is any thought given to, or not very much, at least they're not talking about what they think about the drop in income we can expect if there's this kind of drastic cut in the staff.
Okay. Any other? I see Mal, who would be a second time speaker. Are there any board members who haven't spoken for the first time? Okay, so I have two second time speakers, Mal and Tracy. Mal, go ahead.
I wonder if we could get some clarification, and if we don't have it today, I would respectfully ask the chair to pose this question to the Pacifica ED. If I understand the situation, BAI has had its central office assessment cut
in half,
about in half, and we are being asked to make a $250,000 or $300,000 or some such number in cuts. That doesn't track, and I would like to find out from Pacifica how that's at all justifiable.
I'd be happy to ask that question. I'm happy to ask any questions you tell me to.
Well,
Tracy.
Yeah. At the end of May, WBAI actually was in a surplus, which was kind of astonishing and wonderful to see. They raised, Pamela? Shush. They raised 770.
Pam, please.
You don't talk when other people are talking.
Please,
you're welcome.
Tracy, you started it this morning, but I'm asking everyone to be respectful and let the person who is speaking speak. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, WBAI is in a surplus. It won't last, but at least for a little while. They raised $770,000 in their last fund drive, which is $130,000 more than KPFA raised in its May fund drive. And they will be dealing with about the same number of cuts as will KPFK. Obviously, the Houston and the Washington stations are much smaller, so they'll be proportionally smaller. KPFT has already implemented or starting to implement their cuts, which are a total of $73,000, which I think is actually a larger percentage of their annual budget than $300,000 is of KPFA substantially. What else was I going to say? Something else. Well, I can't remember, so that'll be it.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak on this subject?
I can ask Tracy a question.
I did have something, yeah.
Okay.
WBAI's expenses, yeah, it's around $450,000 in rent and around $400,000, maybe $375,000 for the transmitter on the Empire State Building. The transmitter cost is pretty unmanageable. There is no place else in Midtown Manhattan they can really put that tower without losing a substantial amount of their signal. BAI listener revenues are about 91% of KPFA's. If, in fact, KPFA had to pay WBAI's expenses, it, too, would be showing a $500,000 deficit. So this has nothing to do with WBAI's fundraising abilities or lack of attractive programming or anything else. It has to do with having an expense schedule that is excessive and which both California stations would be substantially underwater if they face the same structural problems. It's very unfortunate for WBAI that unlike the two California stations and the Houston station, they were not able to invest in a piece of real estate. Very sad for them. And it creates an ongoing and serious problem. The other thing that I would say is, again, I think we need to pay attention to the math. KPFA will this fiscal year be in deficit by several hundred thousand dollars by the end of the year. That's our deficit, our operating deficit, nothing to do with anybody else. So our cuts will enable us to pay our bills, and that is something that I believe the listeners want us to accomplish. And somebody had a question?
I have a question.
Yeah.
When you say that WBAI had a surplus in May, what percent of shared expenses were they scheduled
to contribute? Yeah, this last fiscal year in 2011.
I'm asking about this month in May. What was in effect then?
The same thing that's been in effect this fiscal year. Let me answer the question. They were given 9% this fiscal year, and the National Office budget was adjusted downwards, including the loss of a staff member to accommodate that. So it was budgeted in the National Office and the Consolidated Pacifica budget for them to pay less, and no other station is paying more. Every other station is paying the 17% plus whatever unfortunate legal expenses they incur.
I have one more speaker on the list. Dan, anybody else? Donald wants to speak for a second time. Go ahead, Dan.
So, you know, just on the budget issue, this kind of gets to be a long-term frustration in dealing with WBAI. When I've been involved since, 2006, not as long as some people, but since 2006, this problem in New York has been exactly what it is now. And no one ever says, well, let's actually figure out how to solve it, right? Now, you know, there's no doubt that Tracy's right when she says that if Berkeley was part of New York, it would not be able to afford New York expenses on Berkeley's budget, which I suppose is true, you know, some logical level. But the point is really, though, is that BAI is in the richest, largest media market in the entire world, right? And so its ability to generate resources and listenership should be evaluated in that context. And this is not, you know, just to argue with Tracy, but to say that the station really needs a complete makeover, you know, in the sense that a decision should probably be made to close the station for a period of time, have it move to a place where it could afford to be, like Queens or New Jersey, someplace in New Jersey. There should be a redo of its entire strategy around programming and, you know, dipping into the market, and it should be reorganized, and then it should be restarted. And I think that's the way in which this situation will be dealt with. The other thing, which I don't know if it's true or not anymore, but a few years ago at least, it was possible in that there were actual people who would buy BAI for enormous amounts of money, and that part of the deal in exchange is that BAI would get a new spot on the dial, presumably a less attractive one, at least in the eyes of the person who wanted to buy it. Now, we've always been extremely resistant about even thinking about ideas like that, but given, one, the urgency of the situation, and two, the fact that BAI really has a tiny number of committed listeners, making that change doesn't seem as radical as it might be otherwise.
Okay. Laura's next. She's a first-time speaker, then Donald. And and Sasha, you can speak after Don.
I just wanted to make clear where the decision about these cuts is coming from, because Arlene did present it to the board, but as far as I know, there was no other discussion on the board. Maybe it's coming from the Finance Committee, or is it just coming directly from Arlene? Do we know that?
Well,
it's not coming from the Finance Committee.
They're being presented by Arlene, but as I understand, and of course Tracy is the chair of this committee, the Finance Committee has members on it who will be making motions to cut budgets that aren't cut sufficiently when we review them. In other words, last year you all know that the KPFA LSB budget was severely dealt with by the Finance Committee. And so I'm assuming that it will be more or less on an individual's allegiance to whether or not these cuts should be made when they participate in a committee like that.
But the decision about these cuts is coming from Arlene and LaVarne.
It's presented
only
initially by them. Yes.
Because Andrew did mention something about it coming from the Pacifica National Board. And it doesn't seem to be coming from the board, as far as I can tell. It's coming from the CFO and the ED.
Individual board.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Donald, followed by Sasha. Unless there's somebody. Tracy, I'm sorry, you've spoken twice. So.
Yeah, I know, but you're referring to things that
are. Okay, well, hold on. After Donald and Sasha have spoken, I'll ask the board if we will allow you to speak for a third time. Okay, Donald, followed by Sasha.
Yeah, you know, as we sit in this country and we watch millions of people lose their jobs over the last few years, it's kind of like this cold conversation, oh, we're going to eliminate five jobs. Mm-hmm. And nowhere is there any concern about, well, wait a minute, aren't there other ways to deal with this? If rather than people losing their jobs, we really move to a more job-sharing model, a la Germany, God forbid, where they do that so nobody lost their job in this financial crisis, why aren't we cutting salaries of the ED, the CFO, everybody else at Pacifica, and everywhere else through the Pacifica food chain, including everybody who works for a salary at each of these stations, so that nobody loses their job, and we continue to be able to maintain our programming capability and build rather than continue to slash and burn? Or perhaps really the agenda is to remove paid positions so more trustworthy, skilled volunteers can do more of the shows. Is that the agenda, or am I missing something?
Sasha.
Well, I wanted to follow up on some of the things that Dan said. That it seems to me that, you know, in this financial situation, that we have to look at what is really cutting and bleeding the network. And, you know, again, with a huge population in the New York area, their figures for listeners and revenues should be proportionately higher as well. And that, you know, moving, New Jersey is across the Hudson River. You know, it's not that far away. And transmitter fees and rental space would be incredibly cheaper than Wall Street. You know, if it's been discussed for 6 years and nobody managing to make a move to pull it off, my understanding, because we did have some discussion, I believe, with Arlene. I know I've had some discussion with somebody recently over there, and I don't think Pacifica has looked at, or WBAI has looked at New Jersey. They've looked at other places in New York. I mean, you know, if you're a New Yorker, to think New Jersey is simplistic. It's like living in Berkeley and saying it might be cheaper to move our station to Vallejo. Don't we all know that? You know, it's not a mind bender. But what really concerns me as well is that we're, you know, not only is our media merging more and more and our lack of information really shrinking in terms of real information, we are also going through some incredibly hard political times that, as far as I can see, are only going to get far worse. And frankly, we don't have time for this nonsense. This is a time when we really need to be getting out effective information to people. We don't have time. 5 years from now, it may not matter anymore, folks, is the way I'm looking at it. You know, we might all be basically enslaved is what it amounts to. We don't have time for these sorts of games and fighting with each other. We've just run out of time. We need to get our act together, and we need to get good programming on the air. And that does not mean the amateur hour That is, you know, we need to get our act together. We need to really be reaching out to both people who are interested in and are aware of the fact that the media information we get is so horrendous, and those who maybe are less aware and tune into us by mistake, but because we sound like a regular polished radio station, they may stop and listen rather than we sound like, you know, a bunch of kids down the block, you know, you happen to encounter their ham radio frequency. We don't have time for this any longer. As a political person, I'm just saying this. We don't have time. We're running out of time in this country. We don't have time for this nonsense.
Okay, well, let's see. Tracy wanted to speak, but she's out of the room. Let me ask, does anyone on the board object to giving Tracy a third chance? It's the way Robert's Rules of Order is written is that each member of the body gets to speak twice on any issue, and an exception to that must be approved by a majority vote of the board. So does anyone object to giving Tracy a third chance? All right, so she can do that. I want to ask the two people who've just come in if you came to address the board or just to listen, if you wish to share comments. We passed public comments a while ago, but we agreed we'd come back to that if people came to talk to us. Did you come to talk to us? I'm sorry?
To listen.
To listen. All right, so you've got 3 minutes, and give us your name and make your comment.
My name's Nicholas Roberts. I'm an Australian student. I live in Berkeley with my wife and son. I have worked in the media in the past. I worked for Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation for a few years, from 2000 to 2003, pre-9/11, through to basically the consolidation of the occupation of Iraq. I totally agree with the idea that Pacifica and the KPFA and the network generally needs to get its act together. It seems to me that we're perhaps beyond proto-fascism in the US. It's probably more likely very early stages of a consolidation of American fascism. I think the one of the things that I've been mulling over and working on is the internet strategy that is really a sort of an outgrowth of the work that I did when I was webmaster for a company called Nationwide News, which was Murdoch's masthead operation in Australia. And I think that the internet has a huge potential to expand the Pacifica and the radio stations like KPFA's reach to connect to a contemporary and new audience, has massive potential for fundraising beyond the on-air fundraising drives. And most importantly, I think there's an opportunity to build, to scale out, to really radically scale out the network and take seriously the idea of free speech and provide a platform. Because institutionally, yeah, KPFA and Pacifica have got problems, but the thing is they exist. They are institutions. They're real institutions. And you need that kind of foundation. An internet operation, a pure internet operation, is the economics are notoriously bad, particularly to get beyond the startup phase, and a lot of the successes online have come from existing operations, media organisations that have started up internet operations and use that to renew and expand the operation. Anyway, that's my... I didn't actually expect to say anything. I just came in to have a look, but I thought I might as well throw my two cents in while I was here. And I think it's really important that, you know, on air... A yuppie from LA told me that the thing is called transmedia now. It's not internet, it's transmedia. So it's the internet, mobile phones, how the on-air will, you get a fundraising happening with a mobile phone and on-air drives and the internet site and, you know, mailing coupons and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, that's me.
Thank you.
Nicholas.
Do you know, first of all, I want to ask if you know Andrew Phillips, who's, okay, and then I want you to be sure and give your name to the secretary so he can put it in the minutes, okay? Go ahead.
Point of reference. This is a gentleman I've been referring to. he's been working quite hard on a Pacifica expanded document, which he hasn't presented to me formally, but he's volunteered this, and I think he has a lot of skills, and despite the fact he worked for my countryman, Rupert.
All right. Okay, so if you'll just... Is your name Nicholas Roberts? Is that right? Okay, very good. We're all settled. Okay, thank you. All right. I think we've come to the end of this discussion. And although the board voted to allow Tracy to speak, she's not in the room. I will ask now for committee reports. Is that all right?
Wait, Margaret.
Yes? Well, you're not done.
Well...
Barbara's not done.
Well, I just need to say that we will be notifying the board about possible meetings, not this coming week, but the one afterward, afternoon and evening, that you may finally look at the budget template that we will have prepared.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So don't ignore your emails. That's what that says. Okay. Committee report. PMB, Dan, Laura, one of you want to...
We are having an in-person meeting with the PNB that's coming up. It starts Friday, July 20th, and goes. So, and there is a reception at the station. I'm not sure what time in the evening, probably like 6 or 7. So that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. There'll be public comment during those times.
I just want to say that I've sent an email to Summer Reese and asked her if the public comment times could be set at times certain so that people could come to the meeting when they know they'll have an opportunity to address the board. I attended the PMB meeting in Los Angeles in January, and one of the things that was sort of frustrating was that at least for the first 2 days, the public comment time got pushed around when the board decided to go into closed agenda, and I complained about that, and on the third day it was set at a time certain, and the board took the public comments at the time they said they were going to. So that was very helpful for people who wanted to come and address the board.
Also, as far as the upcoming election, the board voted to postpone the elections. Supposed to be a cost-saving measure. I don't know that it's going to save any money, but so there's a new timeline. It's pushed back about 6 weeks, I think, from what it was. So you can find that on the Pacifica website, I think.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. posted there.
It's the first thing that comes up.
Okay.
Well, they've changed it around.
Okay. Dan, do you want to add anything? He's not listening to me.
I'm listening. I'm just trying to think. What's worth adding, we have spent hours adopting changes in elections procedures. The one which we were most able to agree upon is that we would use thinner paper in the mailings in order to save postage. I think that passed unanimously. I'm not sure. But, there's a tremendous, in my mind, poorly understood or poorly motivated debate about whether Pacifica should join many other organizations of progressive and not so progressive people in this country by having an online election. The most that we're able to apparently agree upon is that people will have the option to email in order to receive election materials online rather than in the mail, which likely at least 100 people will do out of however 30,000 people who get these solicitations. Anyway, I mean, some people have argued that we should have all online elections with the option for people who don't have online access to opt out and get paper, which which switch it and save huge amounts of money, but that seems to be on the agenda for perhaps 2016. So that's my addition.
Anyone else? Questions? All right, thank you. The development, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Don, I apologize.
I would, as somebody who's very deeply involved in election integrity, I really urge you guys to not allow internet voting, period.
Not allow
internet voting. Okay. It is absolutely hackable, and it's untransparent. And I'm sure both sides would agree to that one in this room. Thank you, Janet.
Okay, thank you. I don't think there's anyone here to report from the Development Committee or the Personnel Committee. Outreach, nobody here. Technology, Janet, you're up.
Okay, there was a meeting. I don't have much to report on June 19th. The primary topic that we discussed was a possible change to the teleconferencing service to not only increase the features but maybe decrease the cost. And so we're still looking into that. The next meeting is July 17th.
Thank you. Staff reports, CWA?
I guess it's obvious that CWA members are pretty concerned about these possible cuts and working on trying to figure out what to do about that. But the first thing I think we're going to ask for, I'm not sure if an email has been sent yet on that, but we just want to get clear on the need for cuts and the real, to see the budget numbers, kind of what we've been talking about today. So we're just trying to get clear on what the finances are and if these cuts are really necessary.
Okay. UPSO? Is it Anthony?
Yeah, we had a meeting 2.5 weeks ago. We are overdue to have our UPSO council election. We have 8 candidates declared, which is good. 8 candidates for 5 seats is a more competitive election than last time when there were 6 candidates for 5 seats. And we're meeting again this coming week.
Thank you. Jack?
I have a question. What are the criteria for somebody being able to vote for a staff representative among the unpaid staff? Where is it written down? What defines eligibility for voting? And who keeps track of that eligibility?
You're speaking about unpaid staff now.
I'm sorry?
About unpaid staff.
Unpaid staff.
Yeah, according to the bylaws, there's a default standard in case the particular station doesn't have its own qualifications. But the qualifications that a station can set are if it has an unpaid staff organization, either by that name or by another name. And if there is such an organization at a station, then that organization's membership requirements prevail. And in the case of UPSO, that's 30 hours of work in the previous 12 months.
Okay, so who keeps track of that?
Yeah, I've been compiling lists, and what I do is ask individual, you know, producers or department heads or what have you, who among your people in your department or on your program work that many hours. For example, I will ask Mickey Mays, okay, who among the apprentices worked 30 hours in the previous 12 months, and she sent me a list of about 24 this time. And sometimes I've gone back and listened to if somebody gave me a name I never heard of before, I'll go back to the audio archives and see, well, did you ever hear this person? And that's.
Well, just.
And then, of course, oh, if you want to know the further level of detail, in case you're thinking, oh, Anthony decides, no, the UPSO bylaws say in turn the UPSO council decides who meets the membership requirements. So if somebody said, well, you know, I don't know about Jack over there, I don't think he met the requirements, then ultimately the council could say, well, okay. What programs or which dates did you work, and who's the producer, and then can he or she vouch for those dates, or is it on the audio archive? Can we go back and listen?
Okay, so if I understand this correctly,
this isn't really how this is supposed to work, but I'll let you ask one more question, yes. Jack, and then really, it's not supposed to be a dialogue between two people, okay? But if okay. If Anthony's willing to answer, I'll let you go ahead and ask one more question, and then we're going to cut it off.
I'm trying to understand with respect to the upcoming, whenever that is, LSB elections, where the staff elects its representatives to the board. Now, there's the paid staff and the unpaid staff. Now, the definition of who among the paid staff is eligible to vote is very clear. But what I'm getting is that who among the unpaid staff is eligible to vote is not very clear at all. But yet, both sets of votes count equally in the election. So this is kind of problematic for me in understanding the process, and I wish you would speak to the problematic character of that question.
I don't see what was unclear. The qualification is defined. It's 30 hours in previous 12 months. In the past, some people have put in amendments to change that. Those amendments have been voted down by the membership. Now, if you're talking about voting not for the UPSO council or reps the program council, which we used to elect as well, but if you're speaking about elect unpaid staff votes for the LSB elections, you also have an election supervisor. So if an election supervisor said, well, you know, I don't know about these names here. Go back and get me some proof on them. You know, there's another level of review.
Thank you, Anthony. Okay, I'm gonna. I've got Donald and Sasha who both want to ask questions.
I said I was before him this time.
You were not.
No.
What
is this, some actor doing today?
I saw him. I saw his hand first.
So, do we have a procedure wherein people who are volunteers for each program have documented sign-in and sign-out sheets like anybody else, so that we actually are assured that these people really have worked 30 hours? Is there such documentation anywhere in this station? Anybody?
No.
I don't think so.
Gee.
Go ahead, Frank.
So it's an honor system.
Well, let Frank answer.
I know for the apprenticeship program, when they come in on their day shift, they're supposed to sign a day shift check-in sheet to show that they're attendance. And when they come in for their classes at night, they're supposed to have like a check-in sheet where they have their check-in time. They're supposed to mark if they're absent or not.
That's for people on the apprenticeship.
That's for the apprenticeship program. Okay. And I know there's usually, Anthony said, each cycle this time comes up. As the apprentices come in, you know, we make the list if they've been there long enough or not, you know. And if Mickey's the one giving it, she's the one that keeps track of the attendance book, so.
Okay. So the apprenticeship program does have an official sign-in and sign-out.
It's kind of like an honorary thing. They sign it on their own when they check in. Sometimes they don't do it. Mickey gets honored for that. But the apprenticeship program usually does keep track of their attendance. So the ones that come through there have kept track. And usually, like I would say, if they're not coming and keeping track of their time, they're not even they're not going to participate in the UPSO election or the LSB election if they're not even coming. So
okay, so let me ask Anthony: Do the other volunteers that work on the other programs have any kind of sign in and sign out?
None that I'm aware of, but the thing is, too, some people may do some or most of their work, you know, outside of the KPFA building.
Uh-huh.
There are people who live a long distance from here. Bonnie Faulkner's technical person, whose name escapes me at the moment, I think also lives in the North Bay, and I don't think comes down here at all. But clearly, Bonnie's show is on the air every week, so you know the work is being done. Some of the Maunda team are up in the North Bay as well, and sometimes they do a remote broadcast from there. So you don't even need to physically come to KPFA to do every part of your work. Some people have SoundForge on their home computers so they can do editing at home. I might book an interview or call somebody from home. I don't have to physically go into the station to say, I'd like to call you up for the Sunday news.
Okay, thank you. Sasha.
Well, this has been a problem that has been discussed in the past, and one of the areas that makes things even more complex is the collectives. And I know that in the past, at least, and I believe this is still in standing, there was a formula worked out for how many staffing hours it takes to produce and air a one-hour show, and I believe it was 12 hours for public affairs and 9 for music. I may be wrong about the music number, but I know that there is a formula for that. The issue in past elections has, in particular with collectives, has been a problem because you might have, you know, a dozen people who say they're part of a collective, and again, you've never heard of any of their names, and you know, suddenly we have 12 people producing a one-hour program a week for the year, you know, some of whom we've never heard of before. And so I'm wondering if also that formula is coming into play in UPSO's putting, you know, look, reviewing who is actually, you know, a part of a program. So I have that as a question for Anthony. The other question I also have is that I'm wondering who is actually on the UPSO Council right now, and when you last met, you said the UPSO Council is meeting next week, but who is on the UPSO Council, who is making these decisions, and how were they elected, and so forth? Because I have heard some questions around all of that. And then in terms of election supervisors making decisions, you know, we have an former election supervisor sitting in this room who made a decision about Steve Zelser running for the LSB 6 years ago when I was elected, who did not allow him to run either as staff or as a listener, either one, and who told me on more than one occasion that she knows darn well that he should have been allowed to run. So,
please.
So we have, you know, those issues, because election supervisors are, I think, clearly not nonpartisan. So anyway, if you would be good enough to answer those questions, Anthony, thank you.
I have you on the list, Tracy.
I don't know what you're asking me about about the those.
Who's on the UPSO Council, and are you taking the formula for the amount of time it takes to produce a show into any consideration in judging whether somebody is actually an unpaid member of staff or not?
As I understand it, those formulas are not mandatory. They've been suggested to LSB election supervisors, and as far as who's on the UPSO Council, let's see, it's myself, Sharam, David Gans, the guy who resigned, and one name is escaping me at the moment, but there are 5 seats. And we are elected. One name's not coming to me, and then the other one resigned. He hasn't been to a meeting in quite a long time, and then the one from Sacramento who resigned.
When did you last meet? That was another one of my questions.
Oh.
They just...
You know, how do you inform people of meetings if you can't, don't know their names?
Email, postings up at the station. You see those little, if you're in the station, you'll see right now there's little bright blue things saying the next meeting is on such and such. Unfortunately, we didn't get, I'm talking about membership meetings now, meetings of the full membership. We didn't get a full turnout of, we're supposed to have a quorum of council members attend each membership meeting, unfortunately. Didn't get a full turnout of council members at the previous membership meeting.
Okay.
Council members,
Sasha, please. But I'm not going to, we can't do this.
How do council members know if he doesn't know what their names are?
It doesn't matter. He doesn't have to know their names. All he has, he has an email list. Figure it out. Come on. I can't, we're not supposed to have cross conversation. You get to ask a question, he answers the question. If you want to ask another question, you have to raise your hand and get called on again. I'm sorry. It's just, and really, you're supposed to address questions to the chair, and the chair is supposed to pose the questions to other people. That's really how it's supposed to work. But I just can't do this. And we can carry on this conversation on email. If you have questions, put them out there and let people respond to them. Are there any more questions for the staff reports? All right, Tracy asked to speak, and since she hadn't spoken on at the end of the finance report, I'm going to allow her to speak.
Oh, yeah, the end of the finance report. God.
We're finished with that. We moved on.
All right, forget it. To clarify, the ratio that was developed, Jesus, it must be 6-7 years ago now, was 4 hours to produce 1 hour of music, 8 hours to produce an hour of public affairs, 12 hours to produce an hour of news. Oh, the other point, it's kind of arcane, but the point was that regarding Steve Zeltzer was that he could only run as a staff member, not as a listener member, because he had produced, his collective had produced that year, I think it was 27 hours of labor collective specials, and therefore he was a member of the unpaid staff and he could not run as a listener. He declined to run as a member of the unpaid staff, okay, or a staff rep seat on the LSB.
Such way.
Sasha. Okay.
I mean,
Sasha.
Your specialty?
Sasha, please. Oh, okay. God. Sasha doesn't agree with you, Tracy. Okay. We are now moving on to the KFCF report.
I submitted a written report.
Yes, it's here. It's in front of you all. You have it. They fixed their transmitter, their backup to full blast. Okay. All right. I'll give everybody a chance to look at it and see if you have any questions. I will say that the next item on the agenda is the break, but I don't think we need a break because I think we can get through the rest of this really quickly and get out of here. Okay? So that should make everybody happy. Okay. The first item is town hall meeting and... The town hall committee has not met yet. So someone besides me needs to take responsibility for calling that body together. Who did we decide was on that committee? The secretary knows.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right here, so.
Okay. Lewis Sawyer, Cynthia Johnson, Margie Wilkinson, and Andrea Pritchett. So with your permission, because she's not here today, I'm going to call Cynthia and ask her if she would take responsibility for calling this committee together so we can have an actual report. Does anybody object? Okay, see, you get punished for not coming to meetings. Okay, and the last item is the cab. And here, let me pass these things out. Pass these around. Oh, thank you.
Start with Rich.
So I was contacted by Nancy Poland, who is a member of the CAB, who I think was at a previous meeting and participated in a report. They have someone resigned, and they are now down to a relatively small number of people. And so she said to me, it looks like the LSB needs to find some more people for the cab. So what I did was I searched Pacifica's webpage, totally futile. Don't go there. I couldn't find it. But I did Google Community Advisory Boards and Pacifica, and I found the resolution that was adopted in December of 2009, which talks about the cab and how we're what's supposed to happen. It's rather complicated. I just discovered it. I will send the link to all of you. I need to tell you so you can see it. It's in the body of the minutes, so it's a big long thing. You know, you have to look through until you find the cab. I just printed the part about the cab. Some of the links are dead. They don't work. Like one of the links is supposed to take you to a page that's going to show you how KPFT sent out letters inviting people to join the cab. Oh, let me explain that the Community Advisory Board is something that we are required to have in order to get money from the CPB, which is the committee, what is it? Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And we get money from them every year, a fairly significant amount of money. So we have to pay attention to this. And most of the requirements in this document you will see, for example, the LSB, nominations to the cab are invited from community groups, educational and cultural institutions, past and present cab members, LSBs, and individual candidates using the form below to be posted on each station's website. Individuals may also self-nominate. So and we're responsible for sort of making sure that happens. What I am proposing today is that you all take this away with you and read it. It's got a lot of words, a lot of detail in it. And if someone wants to volunteer to head up this process, they can send that out on the email list. If not, I think we should select at our next meeting someone to head up the process and get us going. We actually need to elect an entire cab because the members of the current cab have all served for 2 years. They were elected in March of 2010. And 2 years is the limit, so they're actually a little bit over their limit. So we have to, and I think many of them will agree to run in the future, but we have to ask them if they're willing to remain on the cab, and we need to find new candidates to fill these positions. We're trying to find people in the community. One of the things that the CPB page says is that a member of the cab doesn't even have to be a listener of the station. It can be someone, they don't have to have any association with the station in any way. It's someone who represents some interest in the community that would relates to radio. So there you go. So you've got this. I will put the link out on the email, and we'll talk about it in August. Is that okay? Barbara.
So the members of the cab are elected by the members of the LSB?
That's right. It's in here. It talks about how it happens in here. Okay? Aki.
Okay, this is just sort of that. Alexandria Pritchett had a commitment at the Grassland House today to do a whole rework of that place. That's why she's not here. So I was wondering if you know, can have her as excused absence.
Oh, sure. What was it? What's she doing?
And Grassroot House is
something at Grassroot House. Okay. All right. So Aki's making a motion that we add Andrea Pritchett to the list of excused members. Is there any objection? Very good. Now I think Janet has something to say.
I'm wondering whether we could do the same for Cynthia Johnson, who's organizing something this evening that I don't know.
Sure.
Let's excuse them all.
But I think have we left anybody out? I think that covers everyone.
Yeah, move to add Cynthia Johnson to the list of excused absences for today's PNB meeting.
Okay, that's fine. Anybody else? Yeah, it's an LSB meeting, and we're excusing Cynthia Johnson and Andrea Pritchett. Any objections? So moved. I think that's the end. Thank you. Very good.